everybody, and welcome to Grim Scenarios. I'm your host, Milk, and with me, as always, your other host, Emma. Hello, Emma.
Hello, Milk. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, and we've got another friend here with us. We've got our special guest this week. Say hello, Rebecca.
Hello, all.
We are very excited to have Rebecca with us this week to talk about, I think, a character that maybe has been misunderstood or, you know, maybe some people like and some people are not sure about, but it's one that I quite like, and that's the Balloonist.
Yeah, the Balloonist's ability is, of course, each night you learn a player of a different character type from last night. Square brackets for setup text, +0 or +1 outsider. The Balloonist learns players of different character types. And its flavor text is, more heat, higher, higher, più alto. Ah, it's so beautiful from up here, don't you agree? Can you all see the children fishing by the river under the willow? Can you see the glint of the sun on the circus tent poles? What's this? An old man pass out in the vineyard? Less heat, lower, lower. Ve più in basso. I don't know what that second language in there is, and I hope I didn't offend anyone by mispronouncing it terribly.
It's Italian, and you did pretty well.
Seems Italian to me, yeah. Yeah, the Balloonist is a really interesting character. I'll just mention for posterity, this is the second version of the Balloonist. There is an original version of the Balloonist that worked a little bit differently, which had to see a different character type. Each night overall. So it had to see, you know, an outsider, a townsfolk, a demon, and a minion, and then permanently always added +1 outsider. So that's a pretty substantial change. So we've got a lot of sort of, I think, interesting context to talk about for the new version of Balloonist, which is the one that you just see a different character type every night.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about a Balloonist, but I did want to address the... It's a common theory that this was a pretty significant change. I think it was barely any change at all. They're essentially the same character. They do essentially the same thing. And their information works in essentially the same way. And I don't want to divert the podcast's attention to that. But if you do want to fight me on that, I'll be happy to defend that position some other time.
I think the... I might fight
you on that a little later.
I think the biggest, like, most obvious substantial change is the change from +1 outsider to 0 or +1 outsider. I think that's the most substantial change. Rebecca, why don't we just kind of start with you? You know, kind of maybe give us like some thoughts, like some general thoughts on the Balloonist.
I think that the Balloonist has two main jobs in a game. The first job is a little bit like a chef, where the Balloonist info, kind of what the flavor text is talking about, is it's soaring up above and getting a lay of the land. It's giving a sense of who's a different character type from somebody else, who's possibly on different teams from somebody else. And you can cross-reference that information about against what you're learning socially and what you're learning from other players that have more sort of specific information to check if the worlds you're building are matching up. The other main job of a Balloonist is that fine grain detail, like a seamstress. Its information is often going to give you a seamstress no between two players, comparing, say, night one to night two. They're probably not on the same team. Night two to night three, they're probably not on the same team. And that information, especially as the Balloonist lives longer, is really powerful in terms of pairing up players who are probably not on the same team and being able to catch out evils.
Yeah.
I think the Balloonist also has to have some investigative kind of ability, because they're really a big part of this job is figuring out what character type the people in their information have, right? And, you know, one of the possibilities is that you're seeing a townsfolk followed by an outsider, followed by a townsfolk. Of course, you know, any of those players could be lying, right? And so it's kind of up to the Balloonist to sort of work through all that information and try to kind of attach character types to players and build worlds out of that.
Mm-hmm. A Balloonist is not a high priestess, which is something I'm sure I will come back to later in the storytelling section. But like the high priestess, the Balloonist needs to seek out conversations with the players they're learning. to find out what they're sharing in public and what they might be sharing in private about whether they're claiming townsfolk or outsider.
Much more importantly, contrary to some rumors, the Balloonist is in no way the bounty hunter.
You want to explain that one real quick, Emma?
Not really. The Balloonist's job isn't to kill their names in order as soon as it gets them. That's the bounty hunter's job. Some people think that's the Balloonist's job. It's not the Balloonist's job.
That was the old Balloonist's job.
It was not the old Balloonist's job either.
Why don't we get into how to play? I'll just mention there is sort of one major jinx for Balloonist, which is with the Marionette, which is that if the Marionette thinks that they are the Balloonist, if the Marionette thinks that they are the Balloonist, an outsider might have been added during the setup. This is a jinx that's on the Marionette, but it relates to the Balloonist, so it's at least worth mentioning. So shall we get into how to play the Balloonist? Where do we start with, you know, you're going to wake up and you're going to get a name and that's a player in the game. And how do we kind of start thinking about the Balloonist in terms of how to play?
The Balloonist, more than any other recurring information role, needs to stay alive as long as it can to maximize its ability.
Nothing is sadder than a Balloonist who dies day one or night two.
Yeah, and even like night three, day two and night three, like your information is not particularly going to be useful until you have at least three names. Which has always been more or less true about the Balloonist. Another way that they are, it's really the same character. But the Balloonist is, it's almost akin to a starts known character that gets its information spread out over several nights rather than a traditional recurring information character. Which means, I think when you're playing the Balloonist, you need to think, you need to lean a lot more into ways to keep yourself alive. Now, the jackpot problem with that is, of course, there's two groups of people who might kill you, the town and the demon, and they tend to look at very different things for deciding whether to kill someone. So, the Balloonist is a unique character that needs to figure out, you really need to hit the sweet spot of not being suspicious enough for town to kill, well, not being a juicy enough target for the demon to want to kill.
And you need to avoid poisoning at the same time or character changes. Easy peasy.
No problem whatsoever.
The good news is that Balloonists make excellent frames, so the evil team might be okay with letting you stay alive.
They might be. They shouldn't. They frequently shouldn't. Balloonists can break worlds very easily if they get, like, four or five bits of information.
Oh, yeah.
As a demon, they tend to be a priority killer for me for this reason.
I was just going to ask, Emma, you mentioned previously that the Balloonist wants to try to get, you know, a couple of, at least maybe three nights of information. Question that begs is, why is it more important for the Balloonist to get that much information specifically as compared to other characters?
Sure. So let's compare it to the Fortune Teller, because the Fortune Teller is sort of the, like, stereotypical recurring information role.
It's our basic stereotypical recurring information.
It's the one that shows up on Trouble Brewing that everyone thinks is super powerful. That demons are very scared of. If the Fortune Teller lives one night and gets a no on two players, and then is executed or dies the next night, sure, they could have gotten more information. But that's legitimately an entire town's folks worth of information right there. Learning two players who aren't the demon is literally an entire town's worth of ability, right?
It's the knight's ability, right?
Yeah, the fortune teller, the reason the fortune teller is allowed to get that information and more is because the fortune teller has both an inbuilt misinformation mechanism and is designed for a script where its information is going to get progressively more convoluted over time anyway. Scarlet Lemons, Poisoners, Recluses, Imps are all designed to sort of make four Knights of Fortune Teller information not all that much stronger than one Knight of Fortune Teller information. It's stronger, but it's not all that much stronger. But the Balloonist is doing something very different, right? The Balloonist is saying, player is A is different than player B. Player B is different than player C. Player C is different than better D. Player D. If you don't know who player B is, that's literally nothing. It's not information. It's a statement that someone played the game of Clock Tower with him.
Hope it was fun.
Yeah. If all you know is player A and player B, that's information. And that you know that player A and player B aren't the same character type. But it's relatively, like, it's not information that guides you in any particular direction except for not to trust one of those players' information. If they're both claiming townsfolk. Which, I'll have a bone to pick on with storytelling with on script without outsiders that are going to be claiming townsfolk and the Balloonist. But it's really when you get that third piece of information, when you know that A is different than B and B is different than C. That lets you really start collapsing words.
It effectively doubles the amount of information you have if you can survive past night two to night three. Night two, you've got one bit of information. Night three, you now have a whole second bit. That's a lot.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of the baseline townsfolk power level that Balloonist needs to be successful. It's not getting to that night three of information to get A is different than B and B is different than C. It's not getting enough information about the game stage to be worth the trouble of putting a townsfolk in the back.
It has some of that quality that we ascribe to the push-your-luck type characters that are sort of once-per-game abilities, right? That, you know, you, with the Balloonist, you need to try to push yourself to that third night to get that information. Push-your-luck characters often want to try to get information on day two or day three to have a better context for their information. In the Balloonist case, you just need to get there regardless. And so you're probably going to have to find a way to do that.
Stay under the radar.
Well, that's all well and good, Rebecca, but how does one go about doing that?
How do you stay under the radar? You could claim to be the Balloonist. Good sort of... It depends on what the minions are in script. Maybe if there's a Sarah Novus, pretend to be Sarah Matt as something else. Maybe claim to be a Demon Bane role, a classic for a reason. All your regular strategies. Like, you can honestly export a lot of what you've learned being a fortune teller or even an Undertaker on Trouble Brewing. That might actually be a better model since the Undertaker doesn't start getting information until night two, and apply that to being the Balloonist.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Sorry, I had a thought and it's like slipped out of my brain.
Balloonist is like savant, though, in the sense of if you're living to day three, if you're living to day four, if you're living to day six, you have to start sharing your information before day four or day six. Giving a string of six names on day six is just going to be a roster of players, and people won't be able to process it. And even if they can process it to the degree of writing down the list, remembering it, figuring out, okay, I think this player's a townsfolk, I think this player's an outsider, being able to export that into who we should execute takes more time than day six is going to allow.
Yep. No, come around, we're supposed to be in the potion shop for those sanctions. Let's mosey on over
there. Oh, crap. Man, we forgot. Yep. Yeah, we forgot we were supposed to be here. Okay, well, that's fine. We'll figure that out.
No worries.
I remembered the thing. It relates
potion
to what Rebecca...
Potion shop is magic.
Yeah, it relates to what Rebecca just said about, you know, needing to get your information out, like, not at the very last minute, because it's a lot of information. People need time to parse that. But what I will say is Balloonist probably does permit you to hide your information until day three more than some other characters, because without the context of 3 days of information, your information's kind of nothing, as Emma was talking about earlier. So, you know, it probably does permit you to just fully go into a different claim, some way of hiding your role, you know, claiming to be the Demon Bane. But once you've got, like, those three pieces of information, if you feel like they connect, it's probably time to put them out.
I would say that getting to day three is a push your luck thing. The information that you've gotten by day two, two names, that's probably a seamstress no. At least in most games, those that'll be a good player and an evil player. It might be a townsfolk and an outsider some of the time. A lot of the time, it's going to be a good player and evil player.
It's like a seamstress.
Which is to say, that's already possible. It's already possibly actionable information on day two. I would advise that it's worth holding it to day three and not outing it as a seamstress no on day two, both to give time for outsiders to emerge and to be greedy and get more information yourself.
It's like but either... Sorry, I keep interrupting.
It's your turn.
It's either a seamstress no or a librarian ping, in a like a weak librarian ping in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, you talked earlier that it's important for the Blinis to speak to its names. Can you, like, sort of go into a little more with that?
First and foremost, when you speak to the players that you get as Balinus pings, I would say that I have one goal, which is really two goals. The one main goal is to figure out their character type. From there, there's two goals. Is this an evil player who's hiding? Just sort of getting a social read with the same tools you would in any game, looking for social tools that does this. Does this player seem evil to me on a social level? Is the information that they're giving, are the roles that they're claiming, fitting into the fabric of the game or standing out against it? The other question then is, are they a townsfolk or are they an outsider? I'm looking at the script that we have pulled up here, Revenge of the Martian Vampires. And there's a number of outsiders here who are going to be either completely hidden, like the drunk, but more importantly, outsiders like the mutant, the heretic, maybe the politician who are trying to hide. And as a balloonist, especially as a balloonist who can present honestly and genuinely, you might be able to learn something about a character like a heretic or a damsel who needs to hide their character type publicly, but also that it's essential for the balloonist to be able to know they're an outsider in order to interpret their information privately. That's something that you might be able to get out of a private conversation with that player. There's no guarantee of it. They might claim they're a townsfolk to the ends of the earth, as a mutant probably would. But it's an opportunity, and it's also really important to share with them that you've gotten their name. It helps them build trust in you. If you've gotten their name right after a confirmed townsfolk player, that's dangerous to out publicly, but that's something that the mutant or the heretic or the damsel has reason to trust you, because you secretly know that they're a different character type than that confirmed townsfolk.
And one thing I want to emphasize, and I'll talk a little bit more in storytelling, is... as the balloonist, you always want to see people who are claiming townsfolk. And that's because here's what happens if you see one person who claims townsfolk and one person who plays claims outsider. If one of those players is an evil player lying and the other one is a good player telling the truth, the information is equally valid as if they're two good players telling the truth. And it's equally valid as if they're a demon and a minion lying. There is no truth value difference between claims of different character types as the balloonist. There's only truth value difference when you see the two players claiming the same character type. So
that's sure as shit not useful.
So... if when you see two people claiming the same character type, you know one of them isn't that character type, which creates information. And that information is one of those players is lying for some reason. And
there's
that gives you something.
Sorry, Emma. There's a fascinating game that Melk and I played a while back. I was the chef and Melk was the mutant. And the balloonist learned me and then Melk. It was an interesting game because I trusted Melk and Melk trusted me just off of a day one social read. I thought it was really weird that the balloonist learned us back to back. I thought Melk was a townsfolk. So I thought that the balloonist was evil. Maybe the marionettes, maybe the demon, just evil, making up their information. or having poisoned information. Melk, though, read the situation completely differently. He was like, I trust Rebecca. I trust the balloonist. These two players are super good. They are on the level. It was seeing Melk make a very different social read than the one I was expecting him to make. I expected him to either distrust me or distrust the balloonists, since we're essentially in a three-way evil ping at that point. But his reaction was completely different. Seeing that felt like, wait, why does Melk have that trust? It's a social puzzle that then helped me solve out that Melk was the mutant.
Yeah. And from the perspective of the mutant in that situation, right, you know that the information seems right. You know that this person, you know, that you've got a good social read on is probably the townsfolk that they're claiming. You know you're not the townsfolk that you're claiming. So the balloonist has to figure that out. They have to do a lot of that, like, reading to understand what their information is telling them. Which, crucially, means you do need to talk to your pings, I think, which kind of brings that nice, that whole line nicely full circle. You need to talk to your pings, especially when they're dead, and especially when they've died in the night. Because getting information from, for example, a mutant who's dead is going to really help you work out what else is going on in your pings. Or a townsfolk who was claiming to be an outsider for whatever reason. Or you'll find those disparities in dead players who can often be more open with their role than they might have when they were alive.
When should you decide to execute off of balloonist information?
In my mind, not really ever unless you have 3 nights of it. Like, 2 nights of it can be enough to make an execution slightly better. But you really need enough information to start ruling out that... To rule out worlds where all your players are good. Or if you do think after 3 nights that all your players are good, it gives you a lot of information about who not to execute. Because you're not doing direct alignment affection, because you can just rotate back between townsfolk and outsider indefinitely, you never really want to solely execute off a balloonist ping. It's more you want to use your information in conjunction with the other information that exists in the game, with the social reads you have, with other players' social reads, to narrow worlds. And this is the reason I think the balloonist really is most analogous analogous to, like, a mathematician or a chef. These are characters that don't directly tell you about anything evil going on. But when you combine your information with your social reads and other people's information, you can close out worlds where certain things are true.
Yeah, I think I pretty much completely agree with that. The balloonist isn't quite in the realm of, like, their information is fully about other information, because they do get some, you know, fairly direct information that might be actionable after a couple of days. But they're definitely going to be reliant on combining what they've learned with what other people have learned, especially with other starts knowings. Like, a starts knowing, the information that comes from a starts knowing that you trust is really going to help you narrow out your balloonist information. Something like, even something like a steward that just tells you one of those pings is good, or that, you know, you think is telling the truth that one of those pings is good. Even that, like, little piece of information is often going to be really, really helpful.
I would say beyond the sort of generic, the obvious but not actionable advice of figure out your ping's character types, I think one thing that I'm doing when I'm either storytelling balloonist, but especially when I'm playing balloonist, is look for where the seamstress knows are. Look for where in your information you're not just switching back and forth between townsfolk and outsiders, or back and forth between minions and demons, but when you're switching from a good to an evil player or an evil player to a good player. Look for those consecutive players that are opposite alignments, and kill into those pairs. If you're killing a good player and an evil player, one of each, that's a good trade-off for you as a good player generally. Not always, but almost always. If you can kill two players and have one of them be evil, that's good for the good team.
I would also say, if your script is one where the outsiders are more face-up, where they're more public, where they're not super hidden. As soon as you see two townsfolk claims in a row, you can probably start killing into them.
Yeah.
If
that's day two, that's day two.
Yeah. But I think Blunda's mostly shines on scripts where the outsiders are either all quiet or mostly quiet. Or in Leviathan scripts where executing anyone's a big risk. But if you're playing what I would consider a poorly designed Blunda script, where the outsiders are all like, yeah, I'm this outsider. No big deal. I'm happy to say so. Kill your double count in townsville claims. That's a seamstress no.
It's also useful to have an outsider or two that don't want to be killed. If you have a plague doctor, they may well be hiding as a townsfolk, but it's not useful to kill them. If you have a damsel hiding as a townsfolk, it's totally fine to kill them opposite another townsfolk you learned. It's a good thing to kill a damsel.
Yeah. And, you know, Balinist information can also align with people claiming things later in the game. Especially before they've sort of become aware of your balloonist information or while your balloonist information is still hidden, right? If your balloonist information is still pretty hidden and someone, you know, who had previously claimed to be a townsfolk, you know, on day four says, hey, everybody, I'm the plague doctor. Sorry, I, you know, was just trying to hide. Maybe if that person's your second balloonist ping, you know, and you think your first ping is a townsfolk, you might trust that a little bit more. So it can be a little bit confirmatory of worlds that come out later, but be careful that evil's not like falling into bluffs that align with your balloonist pigs.
Mm-hmm. If you've gotten to day four or day five and it's gone townsfolk, outsider, townsfolk, outsider, townsfolk, they probably have.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those townsfolk are probably evil flyers.
Some of those townsfolk are probably evil, yeah.
Yeah, maybe one of the outsiders, too.
But, you know, if you get 3 days of information and the person you end up trusting is an outsider off that information, that's probably still good. Like, that's probably still going to be useful to you. If you don't trust the two townsfolk, you know, maybe kill into them, but maybe you believe the outsider. Again, it's going to have to align with other information. Yeah, it's hard, you know?
Like, as soon as you have a confirmed outsider in your pings, it's like three nights of information that are close to useless.
Maybe. I mean, it might make you believe the outsider more, right?
Yeah, but the reason that they're a confirmed outsider is you already believe they're an outsider, right?
Well, it gives you more reason to believe, but I'll take your point.
Like, as soon as you've confirmed player B is an outsider, it tells you that player A is a minion, demon, or townsfolk, and player C is a minion, demon, or townsfolk, which is something you started the game knowing most of the time.
And if it's day four and they're both alive, probably one of them's evil.
Maybe.
But obviously your information isn't going to differentiate that purely, right?
Right. Your information doesn't really differentiate anything at that point.
Yeah, at that point you're mostly killing off of socials rather than something that's sort of directly coming from your info, which isn't a bad thing.
No. You know, maybe balloonist information, like aligning with your social reads is also somewhat helpful, or confirming that probably one of these two people isn't the townsfolk role they're claiming. But it's not going to tell you exactly which one or which one you need to kill. You're going to have to figure that out using either other information, you know, or your social reads.
How cautious are you when you're the balloonist about sharing your pings on a script that has damsel or heretic? When sharing those pings might out to the evil team where an outsider can be found.
Extremely.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be doing a lot of damsel cover if I'm a balloonist on one of those scripts.
If there's a damsel on the script, it's very risky to share your pings publicly on players who are still alive. Because the evil team knows if they've poisoned you most of the time. And the evil team knows who's good.
Most of the time.
So, most of the time. So if you say, hey, I got player A and player B and minions listening on, those are two good players. And I'm the poisoner who didn't poison the balloonist. And I know there's a damsel in play and it's a one outsider game. Well, you've done the minion's job of locking in one of two players as the damsel, they're going to tell their demon, don't kill those two people. And then they're going to focus their efforts on figuring out which one of them has information that doesn't make sense, or which one of them is claiming a demon bluff.
Let's hope one of them isn't mechanically confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your best bet. Your best bet there, extremely
careful. Sharon living blue and his pings on scripts with highly damaging outsummers. Like the damsel heretic.
One thing you can do, and this is a half-baked idea, so I might be wrong about this, is to tell an individual player that you learned them and who you learned before or after. Like if Melk is the damsel, and I learned Melk and then Emma a minion, I can tell Melk, hey, I learned you and then Emma. That's fine for Melk. And I can tell Emma, hey, I learned Melk and then you. All Emma learns from that is that Melk isn't a minion, which she already knew.
Yeah.
That might be a way to start disseminating your information, but that's also a lot of sharing that might end up percolating into evil hands.
Yeah, you really have to be careful there, right? Because if the first person you told was also evil, now you've got two evils bracketing this person, and they can share their information and find it. I agree. I think it's, in principle, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Needs testing. Need to figure that
needs
one
testing.
Out.
I think it works in theory. No telling how it'll actually play out in the game.
As Emma's mentioned a few times, if you tell two people your information, you've basically told everyone. So you have to be real cautious about
it. No, you haven't basically told everyone.
You've told the evil team, yeah.
You have a 50% chance of having told the evil team. That doesn't mean you've actually told the evil team.
You should treat it like you've told the evil team.
No, I mean...
I agree. I agree, Emma. I'm quibbling about the details, but I agree with you.
And the reason you should...
If you want something to be a secret, keep it a secret. If you don't want something to be a secret, don't keep it a secret.
Yeah. Yeah. Or only tell one person, because then at least you know where the leak is. If you tell multiple people, if you tell multiple people, you also know where the leak is. It's you. You did the leak.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I just have final thoughts on toying as the balloonist before we move into bluffing as the balloonist.
I think sometimes it can become very easy with the balloonist's information to get a little bit to feel like you haven't learned anything. But we'll get into in the storytelling section for balloonist. Really, really assume that your storyteller is trying to give you useful information. That's something that's on the storytellers to do in the game, right? Assume your information isn't going to just be useless, and don't trust just because people are claiming things that align with your information that they're telling the truth. The core point of balloonist is someone in your information is probably going to be lying about their role. And whether that's an outsider who's trying to look like a townsfolk, whether that's a minion who's trying to look like a townsfolk, whether that's the demon who's trying to look like a townsfolk or outsider, it's up to you to kind of piece that together. You should always assume that your information, that people who are telling you their role are in some way lying.
Some of them might tell the truth. I think one other thing that can help with building is to sort of get out of the morass of feeling like your information is useless is that you are not learning players. You are learning pairs of players. And if you can think about your information that way, and especially into the late game, communicate your information that way, that's really useful. I learned Milk than Emma. I learned Emma than Navian, rather than just, hey, last night I learned Navian. Don't know what to do with that. Say, I learned Navian after Emma. What do we think is, who do we think of the two of them is actually the real outsider and who's lying? That's something you can say in town square on day 5 when you've just learned a name.
Yeah, I think that's pretty useful. Like putting your information into context. This is another one where, as we've talked about before, drip feeding out your information one name at a time. It's not going to be easy for people to parse anyway. Giving your information out as a huge pile isn't going to really be useful to parse. But like giving like two people back to back who you learn one after the other, who on day 5 are still alive and both claiming townsfolk, that's probably going to be useful and something that people can parse.
All right, let's move on to bluffing as the balloonist. Now, I have a question I want to pose to you all. And I have an answer that I think is right, but I want to know what your answer is. Is balloonist a minion bluff or a demon bluff? By which I mean is, do you want to be bluffing this as a demon or do you want to be bluffing it as a minion?
Both. I like bluffing it either which way. I think that it also works really well as a bluff in tandem with another evil player, because it allows them to bluff an outsider role.
I think it's a slightly superior minion bluff. Broadly speaking, the demon wants to be in minion information that can help them look good, and minions don't really care if they live. So if the demon is in balloonist information, it in the right order, at least, it can help them look good. That said, any position in any person in a sequence of people that the balloonist gives can always just be the demon, but they can also always just be a minion. So I think there's some flexibility for the demon to be in a minion's balloonist information rather than being the one giving out the balloonist information. It's sometimes quite easy to, for good players especially, to figure out, hey, wait a minute, this balloonist information is BS. There's three townsfolk in a row, and we're all dead. You know.
A minion can also use a balloonist bluff to get good players killed. Hey, I learned three townsfolk in a row. Probably one or two of them are evil. Let's just kill all of them. It won't be a problem. I'm sure we have time to just kill all three townsfolk that I just learned night one, night two, night three for the rest of the game and not bother getting to a demon. Or kill two of them and then die yourself as the balloonist in a quasi-frame job. It's a good minion bluff for that reason, to create conflict like a minion bluffing investigator.
Yeah, it's Milk, the only way
smirking.
To be sure.
What are you thinking?
So,
oh, yeah.
My answer to the question I posed is that balloonist is a minion buff. Now, that doesn't mean demons shouldn't bluff balloonists, because demons should bluff minion bluffs. But balloonist is a minion bluff because it's very much a better not fuck up buff.
Yeah.
And like some other ones like this are like, Mathematician is another one of these. Savant can be one of these. Gambler can be one of these.
Yeah. It's possible to fuck it up.
It's easy to get caught.
It's easy to just fuck it up, to give information that like five or six good players are going to be like, eh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And if you're a demon who gets caught in an eh, that's bullshit bluff, especially early in the game, there's a good chance that you're going to get executed. So, like, if you're a demon who just, you know, says, all right, night one, I'm going to see Jom, and night two, I'm going to see Alice, and everything's going great, then you share this information with Bob on day three, and Bob's like, you know, Alice is John's grandmother, right? And there's no Grim Peekers on this script. Well, then you're getting executed day three for having bullshit balloonist information. And the game's over. So that means by its natural status for me is as a minion bluff. It's a bluff that you can use to try to sow chaos, but because of the risk that the good team will be to prove that's wrong, you need to be careful with it. Which means you need to be willing to die over your fake balloonist information. That doesn't mean demons shouldn't bluff it, but that's my baseline for it.
It can be a really good demon bluff if you have some way to figure out where the outsiders are. Maybe that's a straight-up Grim Peeker. Maybe you're really good at Grim Reading and can call out outsider locations. Maybe you learned where a lunatic is and you're able to use the lunatic as sort of a linchpin hiding outsider on night one or night two to jumpstart your info. Maybe you're just really happy to frame minions and include them opposite townsfolk and they can out-evil socially and back up your balloonist things. Maybe you're just a demon who likes to create conflict with your info and is happy to ride that through. You have a Scarlet Woman. I think that balloonist can be a really good demon bluff under those terms.
Oh, yeah.
And I do see evil teams and towns leaving balloonists alive far too long. It's not a bluff where you sort of pass your expiration date of like, it's weird that they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
We have to explain this. We have to kill them. Like a balloonist could comfortably live to the end of the game without it being inexplicable.
Yeah, minion bluffs are the best demon bluffs. You just have to be extra careful with them as a demon.
The higher the risk of fucking up the bluff, the more likely it is town's going to go, that's, you know, probably good. And even in the late game, if they do figure out a little bit too late, oh wait, that bluff doesn't, like that information doesn't work, they might also still think you're a minion. So there's some value in it either way. I wanted to mention about the balloonist's plus zero or plus one outsider modification. Because if you're an evil team that's got a balloonist in your bluffs, you do have a information about potential outsider count versus real outsider count, and it might enable an outsider bluff for another member of your team. So if a minion has a balloonist as a bluff, you know, they can. There's a lot of things you can do with that. A minion can out evil at some point, or like give information that eventually is going to get outed that throws shade on maybe whether the outsiders are real or if there's an outsider who's evil and is like evil in the bluff. Obviously, as the demon, you need to be careful taking that extra outsider space up if your minion is the one bluffing balloonist. But it's not insurmountable, right? It's not unexplorable. And on a script like this one, where there's a drunk on the script, the balloonist can even create the potential of there being a drunk, even if two outsiders are already outed. If you've got an outed saint, a dead mutant who's come out, you know, there's a potential that there could be a drunk.
One thing I would caution against is the quintessential godfather bluffing balloonist, where the godfather has added an outsider and is taking on the balloonist bluff as a comfortable claim to explain why there's an extra outsider on the grim. That's not your job. The evil team's job is not to confirm all the outsiders. That's the librarian's job. The evil team's job is to get the outsiders untrusted, unconfirmed, and killed so that the godfather can get extra kills. It's a bait bluff, as you all would say.
Yeah. And that's similar for, like, a Fangu.
Yeah.
I see Fangu is also bluffing Balloonist Glock for the same reason. They know there's an extra outside room fillet. As the Fangu, you don't want the good team knowing about the extra outsider. And you especially don't want them knowing where it is.
Yeah!
Talk about doing the good team's work for them.
You want the outsider who was successfully buffing as a townsfolk to be nice and hidden in their townsfolk role so you can jump to them and get your extra evil on board. You don't want town looking for extra outsiders hiding as townsfolk.
They'll do that anyway. Don't help.
I also think, like, especially on a script like this that has loads and loads of hidden outsiders, taking a balloonist bluff and sort of trying to use that bluff as a way of sort of hunting down outsiders can be really interesting. Like, you're gonna look less suspicious, especially if you're either the demon or coordinating with the demon, on a script, giving a person who's claiming a townsfolk in a slot that might be an outsider, when there's hidden outsiders on the script. And this has four hidden outsiders. So, you know, you could potentially make somebody look like the drunk or the mutant. You could potentially, you know, put people into conflict, but say, I'm not putting you in conflict. I'm merely pointing out that you're both townsfolk and I've gotten you as back-to-back balloonist pings. One of you might be an outsider. Right? Or maybe one of you is evil, and maybe we should kill one of you so that we can figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll find a heretic that way.
Maybe pay attention to what's going on in the game. If, like, there's already tension, because sometimes, like, groups of townsfolk will form, or, like, these three players, they trust these three players, they trust themselves, and these other three players trust themselves. Using your balloonist to go between those two groups as a bluff helps them direct their ire at the townsfolk they don't already trust, rather than trying to convince them to break up their own social reefs already.
And as a player bluffing balloonist, don't be insistent that you have added an outsider, right? Be open to the possibility, but be flexible about whether that's the case or not. Don't just say, oh, I definitely trust all three of these outsiders because I'm the balloonist. Unless that includes the demon. But again, you know, it's one of those things where you just want to, make sure you're flexible to the situation that you're in rather than sort of locked into, no, definitely there's an extra outsider because I'm the balloonist and I definitely had an extra outsider. The balloonist does it and you shouldn't.
Speaking of bluffing balloonist as a minion and being flexible, when should you think about including the demon in your balloonist pinks?
After a minion?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
almost
I think
invariably,
that's right.
Like, show one of the fellow minions in a multi-minion game, then show the demon. Either that or show them first.
Yep.
Because storytellers don't do that enough.
Agreed.
And take advantage of bad metas.
Yeah. Don't show them in between two face-up outsiders. It's obvious.
Yeah, definitely don't do that.
And don't leave them out entirely. If you're living to the end game, it's also socially obvious when there's one player who's being ignored from balloonist info entirely, and it often looks like a red flag.
Especially if town's starting to get suspicious of you, or you think that, you know, some people are starting to catch on and look, making you look like you're evil. That's probably a good point at which to put your demon in the information and try to push on that information. The chances are that town's going to think that you're evil trying to frame good players.
I do think, like, more than most, I'm always never given evil detect of evil when buffing information rolls as evil, mixing in a mix of true and false information. But Blueness is one where I think it's particularly important. Put minions in there, whether you're bluffing it as a demon or a minion, put minions in the information because they're expendable. And it gives you an out if your information blows up.
Put minions in there next to each other.
Yeah. That can be really effective.
It makes it really hard to pin down socially where the team is at that point.
A little bit of a warning, I think, with a balloonist bluff, which is sometimes you're going to get unlucky and you're going to say that you have a ping on someone that's already in someone else's ping. But luckily, as we mentioned earlier, balloonists are advantaged by trying to not be found for about 3 days. And so balloonist is a really good fallback bluff for the evil team once you've got a grasp on what's going on in the town, which means that you can give a little bit of time to give yourself a little bit of time to sort out who should be in your pings. If you're giving out your information on day three and you can give three pings that you think are pretty useful on three players who are still alive, that's always going to be more useful than giving pings on dead players. Sometimes you might get unlucky and put a player in a ping who's already in a different day one ping or is already in a ping from the day that you say you got them. People often meta that storytellers don't like to pile information on the same players on the same day. You know, you just have to find your way around that stuff. If it happens, it happens. Don't worry too much about it, is what I'm saying.
Don't be afraid to show dead players if you're buffing balloonist. Storytellers will do that to leverage not wanting to give information on the living player sometimes. And it will seem very real.
Don't be afraid to repeat players.
Yeah, storytellers will do that too.
Shall we move on to talking about the storytelling aspects of Balloonist, which I think we all probably have some nice, strong feelings about?
Sure. We like to start this section, of course, by talking about what sort of script you should be looking for Balloonist. And I've laid my parts in the table. The most important thing for a Balloonist script is that you have outsiders who either must or normally will lie. You need to give the Balloonist space to see townsfolk claims in a row, which means you need to keep as many face-up outsiders as possible outside of their information. So, the more hidden outsiders you have on the script, the better for the bonus. Now, too many hidden outsiders will frequently be a problem for a script, so it's not necessarily one to go overboard on. But bonus will generally work well on any script that has 2 to 3 hidden outsiders.
Yeah, that sounds right. Another caution about outsiders. If you are going to... let me say this in two parts. The first part is, there are some outsiders... There's one outsider in particular that it makes balloonist information very, very messy, and that's the recluse. The recluse can register as any of outsider, minion, or demon. And so when it's on a script with balloonist, it can make the balloonist information feel very unsolvable, especially if you've put the recluse in that information and used the misregistration to misregister them as something other than what they are. So I would suggest being cautious about balloonist scripts that have recluse on them. Similarly, the balloonist plus one is a useful tool for storytellers. But something else I would caution against is using it to put in additional like a drunk or something like a puzzle master that creates a drunk. You just want to be cautious. Emma's shaking her head at me, but she can be wrong. It's fine. You want to be cautious about using the balloonist to create misinformation that reflects back on the balloonist, right? That's the crucial thing. The balloonist adding plus one outsider is fine. You can use it for anything, but be cautious about using it to create additional misinformation, especially on misinformation heavy scripts.
Yeah, I just entirely disagree with Puzzle Master and Drunk Queen bad ads with balloonist plus one. They're fine.
We could just disagree on that.
Yeah. I think the drunk is fine and Puzzle Master is problematic because Puzzle Master effectively creates a second outsider. And so then the balloonist is effectively added two outsiders at that point, the Puzzle Master and the Puzzle Drunk. That's a Baron's job, not a balloonist's job.
The Puzzle Master has ways of undoing that, but I'm not super worried about a jungle.
And we can all just have some disagreement on this.
I'm willing to run it, and I'm willing to add it. The trade-off is that, as a storyteller, you need to give strong, direct balloonist information to balance against that.
The drunk, I think, is the single best outsider pairing for the balloonist. And I think adding the drunk with the balloonist ability makes the balloonist stronger, especially on base zero.
Interesting.
Because it gives them... It makes them their information when they land an outsider always useful. As opposed to any other outsider claim that can be used this.
I would, on a base zero, I would certainly rather be a balloonist who added no outsider than a balloonist who added a drunk.
I would too, but the reason, but, so the balloonists, I'll have a little design sheet. The balloonist used to always add plus one outsider, and that was problematic.
Why was that problematic?
It's too strong for good. It's very powerful for good.
When good adds outsiders, the outsiders are confirmed. And that is simply too strong. It removes the negative of an outsider and makes them a positive. So the Bundus being plus one outsider constantly means if the Bundus is plus two confirmed players, the outsider they added in themselves. Which is too much. To also learn other things. That's similar to what the virgin, washwoman, grandmother all do. But you'll notice that's all the virgin, washwoman, and grandmother do. They don't also get to then get...
Those characters have drawbacks, not super powerful each night information.
Exactly. So, but the problem with the boon is not adding an outsider is there needs to be outsiders, or every two names you get with a lunist is a seamstress no. At minimum, or it includes the demon. It's either a seamstress no, or it's a seamstress yes with the demon. And that was true for both old balloonist and new balloonist. So, on base zero, if balloonist is in play, I would say it should normally be adding an outsider to make sure its information doesn't get out of hand.
Agreed.
I disagree.
It shouldn't always, because then the confirmation problem still happens, but maybe like 70 to 80% of the time should be adding the outsider. On base two, the reverse is true. Like, the outsiders are already there for the balloonist, and you don't need the balloonist to add the outsider, which means it should only be adding the outsider about 20 to 30% of the time. On base one, maybe it's 50-50.
I would completely reverse those percentages. I disagree with that entirely.
Interesting.
On the balloonists, then that, and for me, that disagreement is a question of what it means for the balloonist info to be strong, what it means for town to have it to be able to follow it, and a general sense of game balance. Adding outsiders, when you go from base zero to base two, even with two outsiders on base two, it is generally still more good favored than a base zero game is. 10-player games, 13-player games are generally more evil evil favored than 12-player games are at core. And the way you storytell townsfolk, therefore, the way I storytell townsfolk reflects that. So I'm more inclined to be able to give a balloonist, I'm very happy to give a balloonist a series of seamstress no's and seamstress yeses between evils on a base zero game without needing outsiders. That's information that the balloonist is going to have to fight against a lot of evil players in order to get town to act on and execute against. And they don't really need the drawback of having an outsider added to harm the good team further at that point. On base two, the balloonist info is already decently strong and town is already in a good place to be able to accommodate or to need to be sort of hampered by a third outsider, and I'm perfectly willing to add it at that point. So I would reverse those probabilities. I would say like 30% of the time I'd add an outsider on base zero and maybe 70% on base two.
Yeah, so I think our fundamental disagreement is I think the balloonist adding an outsider is always pro-good. And the reason you have it on base zero is to help the good team, and the reason you don't add it on base 12 is because the good team doesn't need the help of the good player who adds an outsider.
That seems like a perfect way to encapsulate it. I suppose it depends on the outsiders you have on your script, too.
The balloonist having the outsider, either if the outsiders space up, it creates a confirmation trust. I have won games as the balloonist, as the old balloonist before it didn't have the option not to add an outsider because it was base zero, I added an outsider, and the outsider and I were like, high five.
We did it.
We did it. Like, the power that the balloonist gets from confirming the outsider is extremely high. And the outsider, yeah. Like, the confirmatory power of adding the outsider is, in my mind, the most pro-good thing about the balloonist. Although, if the balloonist could add two outsiders, of even more probe that Alchemist Baron is a very strong counselor.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to say jinxed.
Unplayably strong.
It's not in the new jinxes.
I think they overlooked it. Don't tell.
So like adding the outsider on base 10 in my mind is a pro good move. If it's a face up outsider, it gives it's someone who says, oh, there's a balloonist in play. Great. High five. If it's a hidden outsider, it increases the reliability of the balloonist's information. I think there's really reasons not to do it on base zero. But we can
disagree. I think that holds to a certain point, and I think that falls apart with an outsider like Drunk, who can never confirm itself to the balloonist. Damsel, which runs into the
Huntsman plus one
problem, and outsiders can flip evil.
Yeah.
Okay, Damsel is just too hard on the good team.
Damsel and Heretic are the single most damaging outsiders to the good team in the game. The Buddhist should not be adding, but their abilities are. Those are probably on my mind. Maybe Politician, maybe Goon.
Yeah, certainly be careful about your game balance if you're adding alignment changers.
Yeah.
Most of the time, ogres are going to be good.
Yeah.
So maybe ogres a little too risky, but all the other outsiders in my mind are fine for balloonist to add in base zero and recommended in my view.
What can I say? I'm a pessimist. I imagine that if a balloonist is adding an outsider, they're adding a truly horrible outsider.
It's fair. We are monsters, after all.
Yeah.
Are there any other things? Yeah, I was just going to say, are there any other things that maybe we want to think about script-wise in terms of what Balloonist maybe does or doesn't really like working with?
It really likes Leviathan.
Really
good Leviathan townsfolk.
Yeah.
And it's information, because it's almost always guaranteed to get a full set of information. And the information is rarely overwhelming for the evil team, which is exactly where you want a townsfolk to be.
It probably doesn't love Vortox. It's pretty awkward with Vortox to give balloonist information.
you to give the same character type every night, which isn't so bad if you're on Townsfolk, but it gets a little bit awkward if you're learning back and forth between two minions, or you're just learning the same player every single night and left wondering, what character type are they? I have no clue. It's just a Vortox detector at that point, or maybe a spy detector.
Yeah. It just doesn't give very good information.
Yeah. Legion and Little Monster are also both a little bit awkward. Legion because of the misregistration aspect, especially.
Yeah. I would say Poisoner remains sort of rough for a Balloonist.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Balloonists shouldn't be allowed to get wrong information. They should. But untraceable wrong information still has the problem. This is the other reason why Balloonist was changed. So Balloonist was changed way back when because Plus One Outsider was too strong for good. And knowing that the demon was 100% guaranteed to be in Four Knights information was also too strong for good. But the converse of that was Balloonists who died early on, the old Balloonists who died early, and old Balloonists who got poisoned were still exceptionally useless.
And you don't know when you're a Balloonist who got poisoned.
Yeah, dying early is, like we've talked about, it's still not great for a Balloonist. But after night two, you still have something. It's not the best information till night three, but it's something. Which wasn't true for old Balloonist. One night of being poisoned still blows up three nights of information for the Balloonist. It's still very rife.
Yeah.
Balloonist does best with stationary droisoning. A lot of characters do, where Poisoner is very hard on customs because of characters where the information has to cross-reference across nights. Village Idiot is like this to some extent. Balloonist certainly is, where Poisoner is not such a good fit. You want your droisoning, or even Innkeeper isn't so good either, but you want your droisoning to either be there for the whole game or not there. Something like Nodashi is really good with Balloonist.
Things that guarantee a poison, like Zahn, are also a little bit tricky with Balloonist because it just means that the Balloonist is going to get disrupted. And unless that disruption is on the very first night, it's going to just be very hard for them to figure out. Although Zahn is at least traceable poison to some extent.
Character changing roles can be fine with Balloonist. You'll have to go back and talk to your pings over and over again. I particularly like something like Imp or Fangu with Balloonist. If you learn the Imp the night they Star Pass, then the following night you can learn a minion who didn't catch the Star Pass and be able to trace where it went that way. If you learn a Fangu the night that they kill themselves to pass to an outsider, the following night you can learn a different outsider, and that's an outsider who didn't become the Fangu. And you can use that information to build out. It requires some foresight on the storyteller to be able to know where that what's happening in the game and to predict that, but it's really powerful information for the Balloonist to be able to figure out, even especially with an Imp, learning Imp and then the minion who didn't catch the Star Pass. You get a lot of good information out of having two evils back-to-back there, where otherwise you might not.
The other last thing that stuck in my mind, and maybe you two have some more, is Balloonist doesn't do great being like a single like piece of information in a game. The Balloonist really relies on having some other information to coordinate their ability with, whether that's you start knowings or whether that's, you know, once per games or whether that's another ongoing information role. The Balloonist it's not really going to function in the same way as Empath or Dreamer or Fortune Teller, because those roles do get information that has value on the first and second nights. And Balloonist information is sort of not that useful early. So, you know, the risk of having Balloonist sort of be your kind of main information gatherer is that as soon as it dies, its information, you know, may have not been useful at all. A Fortune Teller who gets one night, a Fortune Teller knows, like we said, is still a knight.
Yeah, Balloonist, as I think I mentioned earlier, is really a support role like mathematician.
Yeah.
Or a chef, where based on what other people are saying and what information they're sharing, it can close worlds and it can narrow worlds. It doesn't really do a lot as the sole is the major information driver of a game, because its information is just a little too ambiguous.
It needs information that's more direct about alignments, like an empath, and it needs information that's also player-directed. If you're running Balloonist alongside a bunch of other storyteller information-directed roles, something like Savant or Amnesiac or General, it can get too tangled. Fisherman, High Priestess, it gets tangled with the storytellers having to craft the entire information landscape of the game. That's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Agree with that. Well, this exemplar script we decided to look at was Revenge of the Martian Vampires, which is a very old script. It's been around for a very long time, and it has a Balloonist on it. And from Bambi, I learned an important thing, which I'm not going to say now. The movie.
Oh, the movie. Oh, okay. Not the person. Got it.
Yeah.
That
encapsulates my feelings about this script.
Very well.
So let's go out and let's go do
the thing.
How to build a bag to the boys.
All right. So you'd like to put a Balloonist in the bag, eh?
Let's do it.
Nope, that's the wrong button. Hold on. There we go. Okay, I picked the right thing. Well, one of the things that's going in the bag is the Balloonist. So we'll just start right there, I guess.
We got our red caution triangle that we can add outsiders.
Yep. And usually what we just do, Rebecca, is we just kind of go back and forth, kind of suggesting things to go in the bag. So you're the guest. What do you want to put in this bag with this Balloonist now that we've told everybody all the things that work well and not well with it?
I talked a bit about Imp and Fangu, so I'm going to suggest we put a Pukka in.
Sounds good. I think I'm going to say we should put in a mutant. Mutant's a great outsider to go along with a Balloonist. The mutant is going to be hidden for a while, but may eventually come out when they die. And so that's a good way for the Balloonist to get some kind of information about their pings, even if they do have to wait a while for it to show up.
Sounds fine to me.
Just from the storytelling, talking about for a second, I'd like to add a cannibal. No further comments at this time.
Very well. No further comments. since we have a Pukka, probably one of Mastermind or Evil Twin fits in here. Doesn't really matter which. Balloonist is happy to see Mastermind. Probably less excited to see Evil Twin. So I think maybe we add in a Mastermind.
That sounds good. Per the previous discussion of Poisoner, we might want to make the other minion a Scarlet Woman here.
Yeah, that seems fine.
So it's a pairing I might not ordinarily endorse, but it works in the context of the script.
Remembering my lessons from children's cartoons again.
Works. It works, quote unquote. Doesn't matter. We're not playing this game. We're just making a grip.
Pixie. Something I think works nicely with Balloonist.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think one of the other like kind of ST crafting information roles that does work pretty well with Balloonist is General, as compared to sort of Savant or Fisherman. So I think adding a General is a pretty good way to give a Balloonist some guidance about what their pings are, you know, what kind of things are happening with their pings.
That sounds like a good plan. I'm going to suggest we add an empath as well to have some direct ongoing information. That or an exorcist. They're very different types of info, and frankly, I think we could accommodate both of them.
Yeah, let's accommodate both of them. I would like there to be a drunk, though it is the single best outsider for a Balloonist.
Very well. Balloonist, drunk it is. Which does leave us with a question, I believe, about whether we're going to add an outsider using the Balloonist. I would be inclined not to here, and to just give an outsider bluff to the evil team.
Me too. That sounds good. Something like drunken mutant in play, and then I think that this is not a heretic game. One of saint and politician can be a bluff.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't have any strong feelings about rounding up the bag.
Not a librarian, probably. I think we want to avoid that here, since our outsiders are hidden and the balloonist is going to hit them. So any of the rest is fine by me.
We could go with the old-fashioned drunk librarian who sees a drunk elsewhere.
Sure.
Why not?
I think that works well on this setup.
Ah, the good old drunk librarian. Yeah, it seems fine for what it is.
Sure. Objectively a setup. Got an empath in between the mutant and the Scarlet Woman.
That seems fine.
Yep.
Who are we confirming with this pixie?
Probably someone up here, like the general.
Yeah, I think general's fine. Maybe exorcist.
Like, you want to keep the pixie pair decently far away from that empath.
Yeah.
Right, because you don't want the empath confirming half the pixie pair, because then things can get awkward.
Yeah. Yep. Pixie fisherman or pixie cannibal also stands out as an option here.
Yeah.
I think general's kind of fine. It's sort of all kind of okay off on the left side there. You can even pixie the balloonist if you wanted to.
This will be a setup where it will be really useful to have general information persisting into the late game. All setups are that way, just to be clear, but this setup included.
All right. Let's just say the pukka has poisoned our fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who do you think you're going to point the balloonist to night one?
That's an interesting question, and that's something that I was thinking about a little bit early, just a little earlier today, just in terms of theory crafting. If we send the balloonist to somebody random on night one, then you run into a problem night two, where the random player night one was probably good, which means if you choose another random player of a different character type, you're choosing a player who's probably evil. And then your night two ping ends up being evil too much of the time. If you're sort of choosing pings randomly, the balloonist could be like, we just got to kill the night two ping. They're so likely to be evil. I'll spare you the exact numbers.
No, I think that all sounds right to me.
Yeah.
I like starting the balloonist on the drunk of the mutant because it gives me flexibility to make a choice night two that I think is balanced during the situation. Personally, with the empath, I'd probably start on the librarian here.
Yeah, I would do the same. I think that makes a lot of sense. Although I will say I am personally highly partial to, probably not a thing I should say in public, I am personally highly partial to putting evils in night one balloonist pings. It's not something that's done very often by most storytellers who are afraid of that. In this situation specifically, where the evil team has a ton of fallback roles, they have two here, I think it's very reasonable to put any of these evils in the balloonist ping on night one, maybe except for the Scarlet Woman, just again, because you don't necessarily want to overlap that balloonist information with the empath information.
You're not required to stick to it, but I think it's really useful to make a plan on night one about what your first two names are going to be, because balloonist information isn't one name at a time. You're going to give the balloonist a pair of players. So yeah. I think it's worthwhile to think in advance, what's this pair going to be? On the scrim, it could be the drunk librarian and then the exorcist. It could just as easily be the drunk librarian and then an evil who picks up one of our, when we give an outsider bluff, it could be the evil who's bluffing Saint.
Yeah. My thought here would be I'd start on the drunk librarian and then I'd give either the exorcist or the pukka, depending on how things go day one.
Mm-hmm.
Or with a possible pivot if the mastermind takes like Fall Edition or something.
Yeah.
Or Saint,
yeah, I think it's worth having a plan and not just sort of being like, this is a player in the game, I'll send them to there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think on this grim, there's also a middling chance that you're probably never going to get to show that Scarlet Woman, regardless of what else you do, because they're likely to get killed fairly quickly in the first couple of days, potentially. Expect that you're not going to be able to go back to that Scarlet Woman who's in the empath information. Again, also trying to avoid kind of doubling up that info if possible. So I think I would assume that I'm going to have to give the demon at some point anyway. And giving the demon here on the second night, would be a thing that's likely just fine. The exorcist is also a fine choice. Probably night three, I'm going to give an evil player if I give the exorcist on night two.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's fast forward to night two. Let's say our Scarlet Woman was executed, gives the impact information, our fisherman has died at night now, and the Pukka has poisoned this empath. And the exorcist has chosen the mastermind.
No, this all seems very reasonable.
So, what are we doing with the Balloonist Baron Night 2?
So this, I assume, is the empath has gotten now a second Knight of Wands.
Yeah, I think the empath is about to one again.
Yeah. So this means that that mutant is probably in danger of getting killed, which is, again, perfectly fine. The cannibal's gotten poisoned information, which, again, is perfectly fine. So I'm still pretty much okay to follow our plan of either showing the Pukka or the exorcist here.
I feel good about this. I would say a third-party option to create some fake conflict if we think that the good team needs a little, if the evil team needs some help, might be to send them to seat 12, the general. Because we have this pixie general pair in the upper left. We could put them in conflict with this drunk librarian vis-a-vis the balloonist info. At that point, you'd really want to be showing on night three one of the mastermind in the Pukka, somebody bluffing probably townsfolk. But that's an option here if the good team is sort of inclined to follow the balloonist info and needs a push, needs a red herring.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think, like, if day one went really bad for the evil team beyond just losing this failed woman, I'd probably show the general. Otherwise, I'm probably going to stick with the original plan of showing the Pukka.
Let's send them to the Pukka.
And again, it's going to depend a little bit on that mastermind and how stable that mastermind's bluff is as well.
Okay. Now,
well, let's maybe say we should talk.
This happens day two. The balloonist gets executed. The lunch token goes on. And the empath, of course, dies. And the Pukka poisons the exorcist.
Sure.
And this is something I wanted to. This is why I wanted a cannibal in the back.
Did you want to retcon that we'd sent it to the exorcist instead of the Pukka?
Sure.
Yeah, we could do that.
The thing.
When there's a balloonist duplicator, like with Cannibal or Pixie, I strongly recommend as a storyteller that you treat it as if it's one character and continue giving the information based on what's already happened.
Yeah. Balloonist as a character is just very, it's not able to handle being duplicated like many other characters. Because its information requires it to get multiple knights back to back to have meaning. If you give that cannibal one knight of balloonist information that's detached from everything else, you are effectively just telling them that a player is in the game. And that's not useful for the cannibal. So you should generally try to make townsfolk abilities useful for town. And that means, you know, making sure that you have some continuous balloonist or pixie, cannibal balloonist or pixie balloonist information.
Yeah.
I would say two things there. One is, as a storyteller, either commit to following this philosophy and tell your players that when they ask, or don't. If this is your style of storytelling, and there's arguments on both sides, like, to me it always feels a little bit, I don't know, cheap, sleazy. At the same time, it's totally useful and a justifiable use of the abilities. It's just not written into the text, so I feel squeamish relying on it. If that's your style of storytelling, tell your players that when they ask, hey, do you usually run the cannibal balloonist as sort of a continuation of the balloonist? Yeah, that's how I usually approach it. Or no, definitely not. And we can show the cannibal the exorcist again to reinforce, like, that's not how I think about things. All you're doing is learning a player.
Yeah, I agree. You should definitely be honest to your players about this. I think you should, though. I think, like,
yeah.
Especially with cannibal, where there's no distinction with the cannibal between eating a good balloonist and eating evil player bluffing balloonist and learning a name. The cannibal is not getting meaningful information if you sort of send them off into the middle of nowhere. If you just sort of like say, new instance of the Balloonist ability, I'll toss it on the fixie. Great. This doesn't tell the cannibal anything. It tells the cannibal that either the Balloonist is the Balloonist, the Balloonist is the new player bluffing the Balloonist, and either way, the fixie is either a townsfolk, outsider, minion, or demon.
If it's not your meta, show them the Exorcist again. If it is your meta, show them the Mastermind of the Pugo, whichever one you are planning to go to next.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
For the sake of the cannibal and the game balance, it's worth following. And like many, I don't know, BMR roles like Sailor or Pacifist, this is something where if you're doing this, you want to be meta as a storyteller. So make that public.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was I think that's a really good point to bring up, and I'm glad we kind of got a chance, took time to discuss it.
Does anyone else sort of have... Oh. Hello, Uber Grim. I just want to reiterate my strongest Balloon storytelling point. I'm going to change this mutant into a saint briefly.
Sure.
I'm going to bring everyone back to life for a second. This. Showing the Exorcist and then the Saint is not information. Because it is equally true. Whether that Saint is the mastermind bluffing the Saint. I've switched for our audio listeners, I've switched the Saint token for the mutant token, and now I've switched the Saint token again for the mastermind token, and switched the original mastermind for the politician. Showing it simply does not matter. It does not tell the Balloonist to anything, just to learn the Exorcist, a townsfolk, and then the Saint and Outsucker. Because the Saint can be the Saint, or the mastermind, claiming Saint, and the information is exactly the same. The Balloonist has learned nothing. It is not information that is useful to advance a good team's understanding of the game to show a townsfolk claim and then an outsider claim. And the Balloonist should be doing something to advance the town's understanding of the game.
I'll double down on this. The storyteller should be using the Balloonist ability to create conflicts. Almost every night, if not every night, you should be creating conflicts. Probably by showing two players who are claiming townsfolk, occasionally by showing two players who are claiming outsider back to back. Let there be conflicts. It's great for games to have conflicts in them. That's information. That's actionable. That's fun. And
even showing the Exorcist and then our drunk librarian is information because the Balloonist is learning one of these players can't be trusted. Now, the librarian could be trusted as a member of the good team, but their information is bullshit. So that is still information. Showing the Exorcist and the Saint, not information.
Yeah. Two players who are playing their actual roles, effectively.
One of my absolute favorite ways to storytell a long-lived Balloonist is something like this. First, we'll show the Exorcist. Then we'll show the drunk librarian. Then we'll show the mastermind. Let's ignore the fact that the mastermind is an empath too. That's not pertinent here. Then on night four, we'll show the Exorcist again. So I've just gone Exorcist, drunk, mastermind, Exorcist. You could do this potentially with a face-up outsider or with a demon in play also. At that point, that repeat on night four tells the Balloonist, here are three players, each of different character types. That is a really strong character ability. That's an actionable character ability that creates interesting game states. And that means that maybe none of those pairs individually were conflicts, especially if you have a face-up outsider mixed in there. But together as a set of three, this is something where we can really start to world build. That's something that I frequently do with Balloonists, is loop back around on night four to create a triangle of three players of different character types.
Absolutely, yeah. Don't be hesitant to put minions in Balloonist information when it creates a conflict for them. Be a little more cautious if you do that with the demon, right? Don't necessarily just sell out the demon on day two that they're in a conflict ping with a confirmable good player. But minions can go in conflicting Balloonist information every single time. it's absolutely crucial for the Balloonist's ability to be useful, to be a powerful Townsfolk ability. Just confirming four good players as the things that they are, as the roles that they are claiming, it doesn't help the good team, because the good team, as Emma pointed out, simply can't trust those claims in the Balloonist information. Balloonists want to find conflict. Now, sometimes...
Give it to them.
Sometimes you're going to show a Townsfolk, and then you're going to show a minion, and you're going to think that minion is claiming Townsfolk, but that minion is, in fact, claiming an outsider. That's okay. That's going to happen. Like, you can't control that, right? But to the best of your ability, try to put minions in the information, try to put evil players in the information in places where they shouldn't be based on their claim.
Yeah. If it turns out day two that, oh, wait, the minion I showed last night is claiming an outsider? Great. Show an outsider on night three.
Remember, the Balloonist is exceptionally fragile, right? Their ability to use their information at all depends on them living a long time. It's one of the very few characters that I would say the longer they live, the better information they must get. Not just that they should get. They literally must get good information the longer they live, because their information is almost useless if they only have one or two nights of it. So... when they get that information, definitely push on it.
Well, we've been going for about an hour and a half. Does anyone have any sort of final thoughts on the Balloonist before we wrap this up?
Much maligned character. Yeah, it's a much maligned character that needs, you know, that I think just needs some storytelling tweaks in the way people think about putting things together.
Yeah, I think the takeaway that I have and I want to give our audience about storytelling it is that the Balloonist is not a high priestess. It's not, here's a player you should talk to. It's not, here's a player that's in an interesting position. It's really about creating, oftentimes I think of it as seamstress knows, certainly conflicts also then with hidden outsiders. It's about creating conflict, and don't shy away from that as a storyteller. It's your job to lean into that on behalf of your Balloonist. Yeah.
All right then. Well, Rebecca, this is the time where we give our guests to say whatever they want about anything, whether you can find them, anything you'd like to promote. This is your time.
You can find me on the Grim Scenarios server. I'm one of the homegrown guests here. I make appearances pretty regularly on the Tuesday Grim Scenarios stream, and then right afterwards, Storytell a weekly event called Dessert Hour, that rotates among base three scripts and a sensible-ish custom script. You probably won't see Revenge of the Martian Vampires frequently on Dessert Hour. This is a bit of a wild one. I really enjoy getting to be around the server, tend to haunt the Clock Tower discussion channel like Emma does, and getting to welcome new players into the game, show them the ropes with base threes, and torment some experienced players on base three games as well.
Well, thanks very much, Rebecca. We appreciate you coming on.
It's been a delight.
All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And may your scenarios stay grim.
Bye.